from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the anti-infanticide bill gets rejected by Democrats for the 50th time. Yale University gets congressional scrutiny, and another federal judge goes after state law. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This past week, Family Research Council hosted their 16th annual Watchmen on the Wall conference for pastors, and our first guest joined Tony live at the conference on Thursday to talk about the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Representative Vicki Hartzler of Missouri is chairman of the Values Action Team and a member of the House Armed Services Committee.
Vicki, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
You know, today the discharge petition continues to be an issue on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which the House majority has refused to allow a vote on. Today you were the 50th to ask for this to go forward. We're at 200 signatures. We need 218. Why the reluctance from the your colleagues on the other side of the aisle to simply say we're not going to allow infanticide in this country?
I don't understand it unless they've fallen under the trance of Nancy Pelosi and they're scared of her. But if they listen to their constituents, then they would sign this petition, because the vast majority of people in this country do not believe that a baby should die if it is born after an abortion. And they believe they should have that medical care. And many of these Democrats ran last fall against pro-life Republicans, and they said that they were pro-life, and so now they have a chance to show it. Very simple, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, surely we can all agree that if a baby is born during an abortion procedure, then they have the same right to the medical care as another baby in another room.
You know, we obviously talk about this issue a lot. We talk about the issue of the sanctity of human life. And sometimes we grow, I don't want to say callous, but we've heard it so many times that we just don't even think about it. But we're not talking about abortion. Now, that's incredibly important in and of itself, that we respect all human life because it is created in the image of God. But this is beyond that. We're talking about babies who survive an attempt on their life via abortion. They're born alive, and what is being advocated by Governor Cuomo, Governor Northam of Virginia, is that we just let them die, or we dispatch them, we kill them. This is murder. This is infanticide. We have to draw the line here.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had the chance to meet three people who did survive an abortion. And they had told me that people don't want to acknowledge that we exist, but we do exist. It does happen that there is an abortion attempt, whether it be through a saline abortion or dismemberment or whatever, but the baby is born and it is alive. And that child deserves care, and it should not be just left to die in a wastebasket somewhere or put in a plastic bag or have its throat slit. It should be taken to the emergency room and provided care, just like a baby being born to parents in another room who didn't want to originally abort their baby. That baby deserves to live. It has the same rights as an American, as anyone else, and we need to stand up for them.
And there are those that say, well, this never happens. You're just, this is not a problem. This is a solution in search of a problem. Well, the fact is, the CDC reports, and these, by the way, these are based on only six states. I mentioned this yesterday on the program. Only six states have reported on these born alive situations. But since 2002, there's recorded cases of 143. And those are just the ones we know about from these six states. So this is something that happens. It is something that needs to be addressed. And more importantly, this says a lot about the character of a nation.
It does. I mean, do we really believe in those foundational rights and principles from our founding documents, the right, everyone is entitled to the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or not? So this is the challenge of our time. This is the opportunity of our time that we have to pass this, I think, very simple, common sense bill and a righteous bill that is saying every child deserves to live.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri, my guest. Vicki, before we run out of time, I do want to mention storms came through Missouri. We've got a lot of listeners in Missouri, and obviously we our prayers are for those individuals. There were folks in your district that were actually killed by these tornadoes that went through last night. What do we know thus far?
Well, we know it had a devastating impact in our capital city of Jefferson City. A lot of buildings down, a lot of destruction. Apartment building has collapsed. There are search and rescue operations going on as we speak. But there are several smaller tornadoes that went through as well. And one of them in my district, sadly, hit this a trailer where a senior citizen lady, elderly lady, was. And she died. And then a home where another couple was sleeping at night. And they lost their lives. And so it's always tragic when anyone loses their lives, but certainly to a tornado, it's just very, very horrific. So I'll be going home today and hope to get out there tomorrow and visit with some of the people impacted and just love on them. And we'll do what we can to stand with them and certainly pray for them.
And these natural disasters, we've seen them in every state. We've had floods, we've had hurricanes, we've had tornadoes, and you know, this is a time where as Americans and Christians in particular, I would say we need to reach out and minister to those in need, supporting those ministries, volunteering for those ministries like Samaritan's Purse, which by the way is a part of our Watchmen on the Wall conference. We need to be engaged, we need to be helping, and we need to be praying for those individuals affected by this. It's becoming more it's becoming easier to empathize because so many of us have experienced these storms. Vicki, before we run out of time, one last issue. Last week you led the effort to stop the Equality Act. Despite your best effort, it did pass out of the House. You can't control everything. You did a great job in addressing some of these issues. In 30 seconds, where does it stand now?
Well, it's waiting in the Senate. We hope that Senator McConnell will never bring it up, but there is a concern that they will try to put some of this language in appropriations bills or other riders later on in the year. And so I would just encourage everyone to reach out to their senator and say we do not want the government to impose these top-down discrimination against people who have differing views on marriage and on gender, and it needs to be defeated.
Vicki Hartzler, thanks so much for joining us. Safe travels back home this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about Representative Vicki Hartzler, as well as our publication on Born Alive Abortion Survivors, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. You'll also find the link there to join us for the Values Voter Summit, coming up in October in Washington, D.C. You'll join like-minded individuals as you hear from dozens of speakers talking about faith, family, and freedom. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That is frc.org/ABA laws.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Last Monday, the Senate Judiciary Constitution Subcommittee sent a letter to Yale University asking for internal communications concerning the school's treatment of its conservative students, in particular, its Christian students. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins to discuss what's happening at Yale is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Constitution Committee, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always good to be with you.
I'm sorry I didn't get to see you. I had to leave before you spoke, but I know that you spoke with great passion, as you always do, on the issue of the persecution of the church. Specifically, today we were talking about Iran. Very troubling what we see happening in that region of the world.
Deeply concerning. Christians are the most persecuted religious group on earth, and in fact, studies show 1 in 9 Christians across the globe face serious persecution. And of the 10 countries with the greatest persecution, 8 of the 10 are Islamic countries. Christians face persecution from radical Islamists. They face persecution from communists. They face persecution from dictatorial regimes across the country. And thank you, Tony, for being so relentless and passionate, speaking up for persecuted Christians and persecuted people of all faiths. Nobody should be persecuted or face imprisonment or torture because of his or her faith.
You're absolutely right, and we have a platform to speak to that here in the United States as we kind of set the standard First Amendment. But that's why what you're doing with Yale Law School is so important, because we can't fail to see the warning signs of that pending persecution here when we allow stuff like what appears to be happening on the campus at Yale Law School.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, the backstory in terms of how this discriminatory policy came about, I think, is quite revealing. As you know, the Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, is a national nonprofit public interest law firm that represents and defends religious liberty. And your listeners are all familiar with the Colorado Baker case, the Baker who was persecuted and fined because he was not willing to participate in and celebrate a same-sex wedding and to bake the wedding cake for it. And he believed that doing so was contrary to his faith. And as a consequence, he was persecuted. That case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled with the Baker and said that he had First Amendment rights to practice his faith, to live according to his faith, and that was protected by the First Amendment. Well, a lawyer from ADF was speaking on the Yale campus and speaking about the victory, the big victory they just had at the U.S. Supreme Court. And the reaction, which sadly is not much of a surprise on today's campuses, is that there was a protest from the left, in particular the LGBT group. They're called Outlaws, which I have to admit is a fairly clever name. But they reacted as campus leftists do, and they protested, and they demanded all sorts of changes from Yale. One of their demands was that Yale change their student loan program. Yale has a program that provides stipends for Yale law students who are working in public interest law firms, and also provides loan repayment for students who go work at public interest firms. Well, Yale, in response to the demand from their LGBT group, changed their policy. So now any Yale student will get this financing and this financial aid unless they choose to go work at a Christian organization that believes in traditional marriage or believes in traditional sexual values. And what appears to be the case is this was targeted very directly at ADF, that there was one target and one target only, and that was ADF. As you noted, I chair the Constitution Subcommittee of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and so we have launched an investigation into this religious bigotry, this religious discrimination. Yale receives large amounts of federal funds, and it's against federal civil rights law to discriminate based on religious faith. And just this week, the committee submitted to Yale a request for production of all of the documents, all of the emails, all of the correspondence behind this policy, which I think is likely to reveal. Yale's indicated it intends to cooperate, and I think it's likely to indicate that this was driven by a very specific animus to discriminate against Christians and to try to blacklist ADF and punish any Yale students who choose to work there.
Now, Senator, does Yale have a legal obligation to make sure they turn over all of those internal documents and they're not simply selective in what they give you?
Well, that's a matter that could be subject to dispute. As it stands right now, this is a request for production. So there's not an affirmative legal duty to comply, although they publicly stated they intend to cooperate. If Yale refuses cooperation, then the Judiciary Committee can always subpoena the documents. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that they honor the commitments that they've made publicly. They're going to cooperate, and they hand the materials over. But we'll see how they choose to conduct themselves.
What's the time frame here that you think you may get information from Yale?
We have a date. I'll tell you. I don't recall off the top of my head the date. It is. A quick turnaround, but I don't recall the specific date for the production of documents.
Well, I think this is extremely important because if one of them, like Yale, who is a leader in the law field, is able to get away with this, you will find others follow suit.
That is exactly right. I think Yale Law School is the canary in the coal mine. If they get away with this, we'll see law school after law school after law school following this same pattern. And I'll tell you what the LGBT group demanded of Yale, not just that they discriminate against Christians in financial aid. They demanded that they discriminate against anyone who believes in traditional marriage in admissions, that they right. not even admit anyone who believes in a biblical definition of marriage. That is profoundly dangerous, and we've got to stand up and prevent it.
Absolutely, without question. Senator Ted Cruz, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Take care. God bless.
You can learn more about Senator Cruz when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, I'd encourage you to download the Stand Firm app for your smartphone. It's an easy way to keep up with the topics you care about most. Again, that's at TonyPerkins.com.
Discover Alaska as you vacation with Tony Perkins and Family Research Council. You will love every moment of this unforgettable experience. Get a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital with Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, Ken Blackwell, and Michelle Bachman. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise July 7 to 14. Get more information at frc.org/Alaska. That's frc.org/Alaska.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Earlier this week, U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves indicated that he is likely to block the newly passed Mississippi law that will ban most abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, usually around the sixth week of pregnancy. Joining FRC President Tony Perkins with his reaction is the governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant.
Governor, welcome back to Washington
Tony,
Watch.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely. Love Washington Watch and FRC, and thank you so much for spreading the word, getting the truth out to the people across America. So it's always my great honor to join you.
Well, Governor, I don't call this defiance. I call it diligence. You're doing the work of the people.
Absolutely. And it was somewhat shocking to hear a federal judge speak in the terms of smacks of defiance and literally chastise the attorneys and members of the Mississippi legislature for doing the will of the people. This is a republic, not a dictatorship, and the people of a republic speak through their elected officials, and the vast majority of those in both the House and the Senate voted in favor of passing a heartbeat bill. I would tell the judge that I do not believe at that point they took into consideration any defiance towards his court or him personally or any other judge. We often wonder why this particular judge seems to receive every social bill that is passed by anything that deals with social norms as we know them within the Mississippi legislature. Lawsuits are automatically filed, and they go to this one judge time and time again. We're curious about that. We think that's just our right as Americans to be curious about that and not to have a federally appointed judge say that the Mississippi legislature and the people they support are defiant because they're passing a piece of legislation that they truly believe in. We believe that taking the life of that unborn child is murder. So if you cannot stand for the life of an unborn child, I'm not sure what we will be allowed to stand for. But on the other side, if it takes defiance to save the life of that child, then so be it.
You know, I was scratching, or collectively, we were scratching our head here at the Family Research Council when we saw this judge having this case. As you said, he had the 15-week abortion prohibition bill. He had your religious liberty case. And the odds of the same judge drawing all of these cases, Highly unusual. I'll put it that way.
I've been sued over the state flag. He had that case. I've been sued over trying to expand the board of the airport commission by making it more diverse. He has that case. So every case I think that has the name Phil Bryant in it, somehow whoever's in charge of assigning the cases says this is a case for Carlton Reeves because he's got every single one of them. And we can't seem to get an answer as to why that continues to happen. But as I said, it wasn't as if we were thinking about a judge or the court case. Everyone kept saying, pass this bill. There's going to be we get sued over everything. That's the way the left today works. They can't beat you to ballot box. They can't beat you on the floor of your legislature with a legislative process. So they sue you. And then they go to their friends in the media who begin their attack, and then all the online joins in and the trolls. But, that's just what you have to realize is going to occur. It doesn't faze me. I'm going to do what's right every time, and I'm honored that Georgia and Alabama, Ohio, Kentucky, other states are beginning to join this movement.
Yes, it is. In fact, you're absolutely right. You're not alone. There are several states, as you pointed out, Kentucky, Ohio, Georgia, even my home state of Louisiana, pushing forward some bills on this front that simply, I think, is a response to what began in New York earlier this year, where Governor Cuomo wanted to push the nation toward infanticide, and Governor Northam of Virginia applauded him and egged him on. And I think the American people, as you said, in a republic, they speak through their elected officials, and we see the pushback here where Americans say, you know what, we don't want to be like that. We want to protect human life.
No, absolutely. And I think the governor of Virginia did not realize, as he was quite calmly describing how a child that somehow might escape the horrendous procedure of an abortion, if that occurred, you keep them comfortable while you're determining how to murder them. And he did so in such a heartless, calm manner that I believe it shocked the senses of most Americans that saw it, and many of which I can tell you never realized that one child could survive an abortion. They were unaware that ever happened, and now we're finding out that it does happen. We have testimony of those that have survived an attempted abortion, and now we find out that they kill the baby after the failed attempt of an abortion. So, this has been hidden by Planned Parenthood and all of those who did not want us to know what a real abortion was. And I think, as I tell reporters now, science is helping. So sonograms where you can see at that point of heartbeat, you hear that heartbeat. And all of us that are fathers or parents or grandparents know the excitement the first time that takes place. You hear that baby's heartbeat. That baby is alive. It is a human being. And we are trying to protect his civil liberties or her civil rights in the womb.
Yeah, as you point out, this does happen. The CDC, which only gets numbers from about 6 states out of 50, report that there are hundreds of these that have occurred. Mm. And so this does happen. It is real. And as you said, there have been those who have survived abortions that testify to the effect that they survived this effort. Now, this law, as passed by the Mississippi legislature, you signed into law, it was to take effect July the 1st.
That's right.
But the Judge Carlton Reeves, did not indicate yesterday what he's going to do, but based on everything else he's done, I assume he's going to stay this. But you guys are going to take this as far as you have to.
That's right. And someone will have to take one of these cases. We would hope that it would be ours because I would be blessed to know that I was in line to get Roe v. Wade to the United States Supreme Court. That's the other thing that seems to shock our media when they say, well, aren't you really trying to get to the Supreme Court? Absolutely. That's exactly where the other side wanted to get with Roe v. Wade and get in front of a Supreme Court. I don't need activists of the Supreme Court. All I need is someone who will properly, as the United States Supreme Court should do, interpret the law to determine whether or not it's constitutional. And we don't believe Roe v. Wade was constitutional. We do believe it's constitutional for the states who has a sincere commitment to protect the lives of citizens. I do, as governor, the number one responsibility I have is to protect the lives of the citizens of the state of Mississippi, to include the unborn. So we have more than a reasonable manner in which we go about protecting that life, and part of it is a heartbeat. And so we believe that we are on firm legal ground in our constitutional right to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the United States.
You know, Governor, that's one of the things I like about you is that people know exactly where you stand. You don't hide it. You don't dance around it. You like the president. You lean right into it, and people know where you stand. And I think it's refreshing, and I think that's why you've had a successful political career in Mississippi, is because people never had to guess where you stand on the issues. But you're coming to the end of your term.
I am. About 9 more months, we'll finish up. Actually, the next inauguration is the 14th of July, so I will be finishing 2 wonderful terms as governor of the state of Mississippi, and that's the way it should be. I'll be able to return to my private life, and knowing that I've done all that I could do, and knowing that people may not agree with where I stand, but they have no doubt about where I am and what I intend to do.
Could not agree with you more. And to Judge Reeves' remarks, I quite frankly think that smacks of elitism, that somehow the court is the final say in our system of government. It is one of three branches of government. The people have a right to speak through their elected officials, and the court does get it wrong. We know that. We know from the history of this country, many times the court has gotten it wrong, and it's taken the legislature and the people to set it straight.
Our Civil War, when the Supreme Court ruled in Dred Scott that a human being was property, United States Supreme Court ruling. So, yeah, they've got it wrong before. I think they got it wrong in the 1970s, and hopefully we'll have another opportunity to present the case for life.
Governor Phil Bryant, as always, great to have you on the program. I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Tony, thank you so much, and thank you for what you do. God bless y'all.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.